Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Again, you left nothing that is not subject to him. And as we were talking on Sunday, I told you guys, as we are carriers of his character, his precepts, and his glory, that not only are our enemies under our feet, our present enemies, our future enemies under our feet as the body of Christ, but our faults and failures are under our feet as well. Amen? Our faults and failures are under the Lord's feet as well. So we've been working through this passage in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2 for a while. And it's easy for us to start saying things like poverty are under his feet, or
depression is under his feet, or sickness is under his feet, or lust is under his feet. But what we fail to acknowledge is our own part being under his feet. I'll give it to you another way. What is your mindset about poverty? What is your mindset about depression? Or about sickness, or about lust, or anything else that you're dealing with, how do you think about it? That has to be under his feet as well. Yeah. Until you believe that you're a new creation, and therefore everything about you is new, you will consistently, regardless of where you stand, be dealing with the same thing over and over and over and over again. You can change addresses and have the same problem. Go ahead, change phone numbers. You'll deal with the same stuff. It doesn't matter, file bankruptcy, you'll get back in it. Same stuff, right? Go ahead, break up with one, get you another one, it'll be the same. Seriously. Until you make the determination that all means all, and that it's under his feet, until you make that determination and begin to walk like that, then you're going to be in the cycle. Anybody want to break that cycle? Okay, so we want to break through the cycle of these things that have kept us in a place, for some of us, a very long time. Amen? The truth of the finished work of Jesus can be seen in Paul's declaration in 2 Corinthians 5. And I ended here on Sunday, but let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to begin at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reads, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things. Do y'all see that? Old things. All of them. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now let's slow that down for a minute. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Now, why wouldn't he count them against them? Because they're dead. If any man is in Christ, he's new. Old things are passed away. So the reason that Jesus is not counting that stuff against us is because it's passed away. Does that make sense? She's working on it. Y'all all right. Use paper Bibles. The reason that he's not counting it against us is because it's passed away. Amen. At some point, you either believe or you don't believe that it's gone. But the reason that things are not gone in your life often is because we don't want them to be. Does that make sense? There are some behaviors, some mindsets you want to keep. Especially if you found yourself extremely strong when you were wrong. That wasn't even supposed to rhyme, sorry. Just come on now. Some of us like the power we have felt when we were in sin. Amen. You know how they call, my dad calls alcohol ignorant oil. That's what he calls alcohol, ignorant oil. And I've also heard it called liquid courage. The liquid courage. But again, here's the thing. There are people who like the courage that the liquid brings. And they don't know how to get that courage any other way. Y'all with me? So they stay in a place to maintain full courage. And so we have to ask ourselves, do I really want to be free from it? And it says, go to the next verse for me. One more verse, verse 19. There we go. God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against us. He's committed to us, so we should see each other and even ourselves in this way. Look at verse 20, please. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. He wants to make an appeal through you. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, in him there is light and no darkness at all. So if we're going to be reconciled to God, he's not going to reconcile the darkness. So please understand, when he starts working with you, he's removing that darkness. He's purging, he's dealing, he's cleansing. Amen. That's that progressive sanctification. That's transformation. You got initial sanctification, I'm saved. Progressive sanctification, I'm transforming. Ultimate sanctification, I'm with the Lord and can't nothing else go wrong now. Y'all with me? But this is what happens with the Lord. If you want to be with the Lord and stay the same, you don't want to be with the Lord. Because what happens is when you get with the Lord, he starts working on you. He starts cleansing and moving stuff out, stuff you want to keep. He snatched that back and slap your hand and give you an ot-ot. You don't get that. Ot-ot. Get back. Hot. Right? And so there's some things, and I need us to be honest tonight. When we all things under your feet. What we normally are saying is put the outcome under my feet, but allow me to keep the mindset. Lord, kill the outcome. Let me keep the power I feel when I was doing the wrong thing. I want to still feel powerful. I want to still feel free, but I don't want to be restrained by your standard. 21, please. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He wants us to be the righteousness of God. But again, you can't be like that if you're dark. Is this making any sense to anybody? So, as we move forward in our pursuit of victory, anybody want to be victorious? Again, we're breaking cycles, right? We're breaking cycles. And some of us got some cycles we need to break. And here's what I have found. The more long-standing the cycle is, the more we feel like it's going to take to break it, even though that's not true. The lie we tell ourselves is the longer we've been in it, the longer it's going to take to get out of it. And we literally say stuff like we didn't get here overnight. And it's true, right? So if we've been dealing with some stuff for a long time, we'll tell yourself and give ourselves permission for the miraculous not to take place in your life. You literally give yourself permission to take all day to get free because you feel like you've been in it for so long. So you discredit the miraculous of God because you say, it's been like this for years, so I know it ain't going to be instant. The Red Sea was instant. Water to wine was instant. Amen. Sight to the blind was instant. The woman with the issue of blood, instant. Come on now. So why is it that we read instant but believe forever? Okay? So if we're going to break these cycles, we need to start working with what I'm calling for tonight, a spiritual growth chamber. And this growth chamber has four phases in it. If we're going to get to all things new and all things under our feet, and I'm not going to let that old stuff get me, and I'm going to break the cycles of old mindsets and old things. If we're going to get there, we have to enter into a spiritual growth chamber. Now, Matthew would call it the narrow way, but I'm saying it's a spiritual growth chamber, and I got four phases of it. And I'm going to give you all four, then we're going to walk through them. Y'all okay? Here it is. I got to believe. They're all B's. Believe, behave, become, and benefit. I got to believe. Then I got to behave. Then I will become. And then I will benefit. Believe, behave, become, and then benefit. Y'all got them? Do not try to take these out of order. Don't y'all jump. Don't y'all be jumping to the benefits. And you ain't got the believing part. Don't do that. don't. You got to take them in order. Believe, then behave, then become, and then you benefit. Now, the length of time that it takes to benefit is contingent upon how much time it takes for you to get them first three in order. You want to take all day? That's on you. The quicker you believe, the quicker you behave. The quicker you behave, the quicker you become. The quicker you become, the quicker you benefit. Four phases take place in this growth chamber. Now, the growth chamber is going to require some things of you, some yeses and some noes. You're going to have to say yes to some things, and you're going to have to say no to some stuff. Some stuff you're going to have to tell yourself, I can't do this no more, not if I want to stay in the growth chamber. Some phone calls I can't make no more if I want to stay in the growth chamber. It's like when you get admitted into school, and you get admitted to school, and they say, listen, here's the policy. If you keep behaving like this, you can't stay here. Does that make sense? Now, the beautiful thing about the grace and mercy of God is you can always re-enroll. You can always jump back in the growth chamber. Amen. But if you want to stay in the growth chamber, you got to get this cycle going. Does that make sense? So I'm going to start asking a couple of questions. And y'all know when I go to asking questions, the prerequisite to all my questions is be honest. Don't y'all go to line. Don't y'all go to line in here because you can't get free when you go to line. Now, we want to break cycles. Amen. We want to operate beyond what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter to me what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how bad it was. Don't matter how many times you did it. What matters is you making a real decision that you're going to get free from it, that you're going to break the cycle. This is not the time for you to beat yourself up over, I can't believe I did that. Let me help everybody. You did it. Are we done with that now? You did it. And some of you enjoyed doing it while you was doing it. We through? We got that out the way. Now, God still loves you. He still loves you. All right? That doesn't make it an excuse, and don't you be using that curse. You shall not continue in sin that grace may abound. But you also don't beat yourself up. Amen? Because you can't get free that way. You got to enter the growth chamber the right way. Amen? And listen, there are some things, yes, Lord, there are some things that are at a height that until you grow, you can't reach. Seriously, you're praying for some stuff that you're too short for. And you're praying and you're seeking God and you're doing, God is like, listen, if you just let me grow you, you can reach it. You can't reach it because you're spiritually too short. So here's question number one. Do you believe? Now, when I say believe, not just declare, because you can declare and be a liar. Do you believe that the promises, principles, and patterns of the scripture are true and necessary? Do you believe that the promises, principles, and patterns of the scripture are both true and necessary? When I talk about promises, I'm talking about the outcomes. Let's break that question down. So do you believe, not just declare, that the promises, there's the outcomes. So when the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Do you believe that? Yeah. Right? Because sometimes we say amen as a reaction and not because we believe it. Do you believe when the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed go begging for bread? Do you believe that? Because until you get there, then we can't move to the next phase. So I got to believe first. I got to believe the promises. There's my outcome. The principles. Watch, there's the requirements. When I say principles, I'm talking requirements. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. See, righteous makes that a requirement. Now walk with me, because sometimes we're wondering why we beg for bread and you're not righteous. That means that you believe the outcome, but don't believe the requirements. So you ignore the requirements because you never wanted the requirements. We want the outcomes. We are conditioned to want the end game and not the process. Amen. This is why even now many social media marketers can sell you a dream. And they'll say, if you just enter my course, you'll be as rich as me. It reminds me of one particular pastor who was raising an offering. And I talk to the clergy about this all the time. This is what not to do. He was raising an offering. And when he got ready to raise the offering, he had them pull up pictures of his plane and his helicopter and his house and his cars. And he said, if you want to drive like me and you want to live like me and you want to fly like me and you want to dress like me, then I need 20 of y'all to give $20,000 a piece. That's what he said. Saw it with my own eyes. And he had hundreds of people in a $20,000 line. Hundreds of people, $20,000 a pop. That's witchcraft. But that's because he was appealing to the psychological dysfunction of our desire for outcomes without journey. Outcomes without journey. So I got to believe that the promise, that's the outcome, the principle, that's the requirement, and the pattern, watch this, that's the necessary disciplines. So I can believe in the promise. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So the promise is I won't be forsaken. The requirement is righteousness, right? But I don't believe in the pattern that gets me to righteousness. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. And this is what righteousness demands. Y'all with me here? I got to believe in all three of those things. I got to believe in the promise, outcome, the principle, requirement, and the pattern. That is the necessary disciplines. And some of us, listen, got great, great requests and terrible, terrible stewardship. You gotta believe that it's true and necessary. Does that make sense? If the answer is yes, then you can move on to the next step. But if the answer is no to question number one, you don't get to move on. You got to stay there till you believe. All things are possible to them that believe, right? I don't get to move on to the next step in the growth chamber until I believe. No belief, I'm stuck. You phase one. And I need y'all to be honest. Think about, and one of the easiest ways to assess your belief is for you to have a personal time talking to yourself and the Lord about your problems. This is how you assess your belief. So you look at your problems, right? And when you look at your problems, you ask yourself this question. What is the promise that God gave me about this problem? What is the principle requirements that God gave me about this problem? And what is the pattern, the necessary disciplines that God gave me about this problem? Amen. Let's think about it about something like money, because we don't like talking about money, and that just, let's do it anyway. And so he says, we'll shout over him opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive, right? We'll shout over that. Or I'll give you a better one. We'll shout over him giving seed. And God gonna give me seed to the sower. He's going to give seed to the sower, and he multiplies your seed sown. Okay, so you want, so I believe he gives seed. Okay, then that means you believe in the promise. Do you believe in the requirements that you have to be a sower? Well, that's not fair. Sorry, we can't move on. We can't move on. And do you agree with the patterns, the necessary disciplines? Which means that there's some stuff, if you're going to be a seed sower, that even when it's available for you to buy, you're going to have to say no to. Oh, see? Yeah, see how that worked? So before we move forward to the next phase, we're in the growth chamber. I'm trying to read some stuff. I'm trying to break some cycles, right? Do I believe? Write this down about right under question one. Behavior without belief only leads to burden. Behavior without belief will only lead to burden. If I try to behave, which is phase two, if I try to behave but I don't believe, I'm only going to be burdened because I'm trying to do stuff that I don't believe in. So now I'm burdened because I never believed it. And now I'm saying stuff like, it ain't fair. Why is this taking so long? Well, you don't believe. So what you really are is a hypocrite. No, seriously. If I have behavior, but I don't have belief, I'm disingenuous to the scripture. That's hypocritical. So behavior without belief is only a burden. There are people who enjoy the gym. Seriously, there are people who enjoy the gym. Seriously, they enjoy the gym. They can go in and they can be like, man, that was a rough workout. And they're spent after the workout. But the reason that they enjoy the gym is because they believe in the outcome. Without belief, even if they go, the gym is a burden and not a benefit. You with me? So they in the gym like, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. And they're only going through the motions because somebody said to them, you're going to die. And so they in there like, I'm on this treadmill and I can't stand it. But when you start believing, right, now your behavior is no longer a burden because of your belief. But if you try to put the behavior before the belief, now we in trouble. And you got to be honest about, do I even believe this? Do I even believe it? So if they say, listen, you got to do some physical activity, it is healthy. Or you got to have more protein in your diet, that is healthy. Or he's looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Do y'all see how I just went from the practical to the spiritual? Do you believe it? And if you don't believe, the hour cometh and now is where the true worshipers shall worship the Father, and they shall worship him in spirit and truth. When it's time to worship, you'll keep your hands in your pockets because you don't believe. And then if you do try to worship with everybody else, you mad because the song is too long because you didn't believe that he was looking for you to worship in the first place. And because of your lack of belief, when your hands are up, you want them down. But if you believe that he's looking for me with my hands up, I can't wait to put him up. You'll be driving down the street with one hand out the window like, Lord, I thank you. Because you believe. But in the absence of belief, everything you do is a burden. And now you start complaining about the blessings of God because they're taking too long on your timeline. Huh? Here's question number two. Oh, yes, God. We breaking cycles? Because some of us are stuck at the belief. Is your belief and your behavior, because behavior is the second phase, I believe, then I behave. Is your belief and behavior in alignment? That's the next question. Is my belief and my behavior in alignment? Am I behaving according to my belief? Right, wrong, or indifferent, right? Do they match? Belief, listen, and you can write this, please. Belief should birth behavior. It's a symbiotic relationship. When I believe, I should behave differently. When I believe, when you're reading the word, you get revelation and you believe that the word is sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. When you start believing that and you're in the scripture and you get some revelation and you figure out you got to get right, it should change your behavior. Boom. You should read the word sometimes and immediately go, my bad, God. I just seen this today. My bad. I just seen this today. Lord, I was today years old when I figured out I wasn't supposed to feel like this. My bad. I've been feeling like this. No, seriously. Now, the devil will make you feel bad. That's not what you do. I'm going to try to get to the no condemnation, because the devil will try to get you to feel bad, because the more you feel bad, the more you'll reject the transformation. Okay? The more you will reject the transformation when you start beating yourself up, but you just didn't know. You just didn't know. It's like, you know better and you do better. Does that make sense? So because there is a symbiotic relationship between belief and behavior, and because my belief should birth my behavior, watch this, I can also look at your behavior and determine your belief. Let's do it again. Because there's a symbiotic relationship between belief and behavior, and because your belief should give birth to your behavior, I can look at your behavior and determine what you believe. I can look at how you act and get a good pulse on what you believe. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I sure can. I can. So if you never forgive, I know what you believe about forgiveness. You can't believe the scriptures. You can't. Oh, I believe the word of God. Really? What does it say about forgiveness? If I don't forgive others, he won't forgive me. Now, you got 10 people you ain't forgave yet. You quoted it. You can't believe that unless you do. Watch this. Unless you also don't believe you need the Lord's forgiveness. If you believe, how many of you believe that you desperately need God's forgiveness? You should be quick to forgive everybody. I mean, just quick, like let it go immediately. Like, no, I'm not letting the sun go down on this one. No. Me and Pastor was having a conversation the other day. Me and Pastor Josh, we were having a conversation the other day, and I love our times together. He and I were talking, and I was telling him some things that was bothering me, and I immediately said, here's where I am with that, but here's where I'm not. I ain't mad, I ain't angry, and I ain't got no grudges. That was immediate. I don't have that. I'm here. Here's where my piece is on the board, right? It's like you look at a map, because watch this. You never get to a destination in an unknown place until you first get to a map that says you are here. Y'all act like y'all ain't never been in an unknown place, and you go up to the place, and it's a little dot, and it says you are here. Now, you can lie to yourself all you want to. Like, I'm not here. Yes, you are. You're here. And so, and the quicker you acknowledge here, you can get there. Oh, that's good. The quicker you acknowledge here, you can get there. If you keep lying to yourself about here, you'll never get there, because none of the directions will work. Okay. God wants to get you there, but none of the GPS will work if you put it in the wrong starting location. God is like, if you keep lying about where you are, I can't get you there. I'm going to tell you to take a left turn, and you like, I'm not there. Yes, you are. You are here. The quicker that you acknowledge that you're hurt, the quicker you acknowledge your anger, hungry. The quicker you acknowledge that you're lazy, the quicker you acknowledge here, I can get you there. Because if you keep saying you're fine when you're broken, I can't get you fine. I'll never get you there because you're not telling the truth. And watch this. How in the world can you speak a lie and expect righteousness to lead you? Because the devil is the father of lies. And so if the bitter water of an untruth is coming out of your mouth all because you're afraid of how people handle truth, then that's not the right circle in the first place. I'm not going to allow the bitter water of a lie to contaminate all the things that got to come out of this same fountain. And if I can't be truthful around you, hey, two can't walk together unless they agree. I got to be able to be truthful around you. No, seriously. Huh? No, I got to be able to be truthful. You okay? No. I'm not okay. No. Well, can you tell me what's wrong? Also, no. See, they play too much. Why can't you tell me what's wrong? Because you're not at a place where you can handle it, and I refuse to lie to you. So if you can't handle me telling you the truth about where you're not and where you are, see, also no. Are you okay? No. You want to talk about it? Also no. 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 Well, you got to get it out. I agree, but not with you. Because you have a track record of running your mouth. You have, I thought we was being honest. You, last time I talked to you, you told five people and it got back to me. So no, I'm not mad. See, I'm not mad. No grudges. I just know where you at. I'm not even upset. I'm not frustrated at all. We're good. God bless you. See you at church on Sunday, but I'm not telling you nothing. I'm not even being funny style. You want to go to eat? Sure. But I'm not telling you this. Okay. Once the first two phases are in sync, so I got my belief and I got my behavior in sync. When that symbiotic relationship is right, I believe I behave. I believe I behave. When that's right, and when you're flowing there, now I start becoming. Yeah. See, I got to have that first two first. I'm in the growth chamber, right? Believe, behave. Believe, behave. That's going to be a give and take for a while because I'm in the growth chamber. And what's going to happen is I'm going to run all of the things that's going on in my life, all of the things that I got to undo. Because listen, I know something about marketplace. This is a spot where sometimes people bring everything they've ever learned and go, what is going on right now? Yep. I understand that about us. So it's okay. It's okay. But what happens is, so we look at the word, because this is the ultimate God of belief. So I got belief, and then I got to behave. And then, okay, that's rough. And then I get this relationship going. So now, watch this. Listen. I need y'all to see this visually. Believe, behave, believe, behave, believe. Notice the walk. Now I can move. Because I got this. I got that going. It's symbiotic. See, if I mess up with one, I'm stuck. If I believe but I don't behave, believe, step, behave, got it. Believe, that's how you got to think about it. So if I believe and I behave and then it comes to that next step and I don't want to believe about that, stuck. I got to believe, behave, that's how you move. And the more you believe and behave, you become. Now we got a conundrum. Because here's my third question. Listen, are you willing to become unrecognizable? This is where things start getting crazy, because we love the momentum of believe, behave, but we don't like becoming unrecognizable in the become phase. You become unrecognizable to everybody who's in love with you before you start changing, and that right there is really uncomfortable. When your family and friends start saying stuff like, who you think you are? You getting brand new. You should thank them. Like, you getting brand new. That's actually my point. Put verse 17 back on the screen. That's like actually the point. Like it's a compliment. Let's go backwards. It's, look. He's a new creature. You brand new. Thanks. That's the point. I don't even recognize you no more. Wow. With my hands lifted up. Amen. But what happens is we don't want to become unrecognizable, because by becoming unrecognizable, we're forced out of a circle that we enjoy. We also don't want to become unrecognizable to ourselves. Like, I don't even know that version of me. Especially when the old you was the strong you. Come on, y'all. The old you was the one who didn't take that. I don't take that. I don't take that. I gotta come to Jesus and start taking stuff. I ain't nobody's doormat. Nobody gonna talk to me and say nothing to me. Listen, man. Listen, nothing. And God is like, shut up. Go somewhere and sit down. Huh? Listen, if y'all don't think that the Lord will get you checked, go read the interaction between Jesus and Peter. You can get thee behind me, Satan. Right? There are some things. Listen, there's a version of me. There's a version of me that I had to unbecome. Lord's like, don't you bring that in here. It's like when I used to go play outside as a little boy, and my grandmother said, before you sit at this table, go wash. Yes. You've been out there playing. You don't get to bring that in here and eat. It's the same way with the Lord, right? He like, look, if you want to eat, if you want to grow, you got to get that off of you before you sit at this table. Yeah. Amen. But you got to become unrecognizable. And let me ask this sub question to number three. Which version of yourself do you love? And which version of yourself do you fear? Which version of yourself do you love? I told y'all we was going to have notes tonight. And which version of yourself do you fear? Truth is, I was afraid of actually the version of me that God made. See, I can talk about me. I was like, Lord, look, because see, there was a season in my life where who I was in the body and what the body seemed to have a taste for didn't match. Pastor's understanding what I'm saying. It's like the body had a taste for this type of leader and this type of preaching and this type of church and this type of flow. And God was like, you're not that. And I'm like, but this is what the body wants. He says, look, want and need is two different things. And I had to embrace who I was in God. You got to get to a place where you like, look, let me tell you something. This is the part of the body I am. And if you don't like it. I was listening to a preacher. Oh, man, his name just left me. I don't want to misattribute him. But he was talking about and giving this example of medical doctors. And he went a different way with his analogy. But as I was listening to him, I went, wow, if we could just understand this in the body. So he said, you know, if you need to go get your teeth checked, go to a dentist. Right? You don't go to a cardiologist. Go to a cardiologist about your heart. Right? You got issues with your feet, go to a podiatrist. Right? You don't go to an optometrist. That's for your eyes. You with me? You want to deal with issues in cancer? Got to go see, what is that, an oncologist? Right? That's who you would go see. So notice, every part of your body has a different specialist. Every part of your body has a different specialist. Now, the point that he made is that Jesus is the only one that specializes. Right? Because the woman with the issue of blood went to Jesus. But the same man who couldn't see went to Jesus. People who couldn't hear, they went to Jesus. People who were dead, they went to Jesus. Right? So he's the only one, right, who specializes in all parts of the body. However, that's Jesus, and he's the head of the body. Watch it, watch it. we're the members. So we can't try to be Jesus. Because when we try to be generalist, Lord have mercy, we're trying to step into the superiority of his headship. Okay, y'all didn't hear me today. If I try to be a generalist and try to be all things and try to specialize in every part of the body, I'm doing his job. I need to be content in the specialization that he gave me as a member of the body, and then, watch this, have enough trust in other specialists where if that's not my specialty, I'll write you a referral. That's how a body works. And until we get there, listen, we got too many of us in the body of Christ, pastors especially, but too many of us trying to be specialists in everything. You better go ahead and embrace your part. You got to embrace your part. Amen. Because when you don't embrace your part, we can't get the fullness thereof. Okay? But what version of you do you love, and which version of you do you hate? Scriptural becoming, this growth chamber. And when we get to, so phase one of the growth chamber, believe. Phase two of the growth chamber, behave. Phase three, become. Now, as you're going through this, it demands metamorphosis. That's what's happening to you. Metamorphosis. Now, here's the thing about metamorphosis. And this is the part about metamorphosis we don't like. I said it before, I'll say it again. No part of the caterpillar is left when it becomes the butterfly. Go ahead, study it. When the caterpillar becomes the butterfly, it literally liquefies. The caterpillar, when it goes into the cocoon, liquefies, becomes something completely different. It's not like when the butterfly comes out, it's still got the caterpillar's head. That was dissolved. I know. It's not like when the butterfly comes out, it's still got caterpillar legs. They've been dissolved. And see, the truth is, the reason that many of us have been in your caterpillar stage so long is because you're afraid to dissolve. No! You want everything under your feet but you. All things are under my feet, so you get under there. Get all of your old self, your old mindsets, your old habits, your old way of thinking. You put that under your feet too and put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom. And many of us are having a really hard time seeking first the kingdom of God because you're already ahead of him. To seek him first means that you have to be in a place where he's in front. Amen. Seek first, aim at and strive after the kingdom. Now listen to this. The kingdom of God is not a place. So all of this teaching that we've done over the years where we told people to seek ye first the kingdom of God, they was looking for heaven. The kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of heaven is a place. It's a difference. The kingdom of God is a method. When it tells us to seek first his kingdom, read it in the Amplified, God's way of doing and being right. Seek first his way of doing and being right, and things will be added. If the kingdom of God is a place, if the kingdom of God is locational, when we get to heaven, we don't need things. So why would he add things if I'm, come on, that's not, it don't even make sense. That is not an eschatological text. It's not about the end times. Furthermore, heaven ain't even our home. We don't like this teaching either. He's making a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven is his house. It ain't my house. I got to get up there and stay for a while he renovate down here and whoop the devil. Then I get to come back. Oh, come on, read the Bible. Why would we need a new heaven and a new earth? I'm not an angel. What God designed in the garden, his original design was not flawed. That's why he had to kick us out of the garden. We're going back. The best song that Jonathan Dunn ever wrote, in my opinion, to this day, is I'm going back to the garden. Back in the cool of the day. See, that is one of the most theologically accurate songs. Why would you think that Jesus is the last Adam? Because we're going back there. What he made, it's like a bookend. I'll get you back to the garden. and it's going to be right this time. Every time the Lord does, listen, when he did water, he reset. When they came off of the ark, he gave them the same instruction that he gave to Adam. The next time he said, when I destroy it, I'm going to destroy it with fire. So by the time he destroys it with fire, all he's going to do is recapitulate the instructions that he gave in the garden. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. That's exactly what he said to Adam when they got off the ark. I mean, to Noah when they got off the ark. He told him, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. He didn't change his mind. I'm the Lord, I change not. There's nothing new under the sun. Is this making any sense to anybody? Okay, whole lot. Amen. So you can't just say, especially during the becoming, I'm going to do some temporary cleanup. You got to be in a metamorphosis. It's a state of living. A state of living where righteousness is normative. It's an identity, not just a moment. If you just do righteous things, you're not righteous. To be righteous is a state of identity. Who are you? Amen? But here's what happens. Since we're in 2024 and we get to pick who we are. All right? You just get to wake up one day and decide you're something else. Right? That's not the way this works. You got to believe, you got to behave, and then you become. Does that make sense? It's from this place that we come to the fourth phase, and that's the benefit phase. Benefits become normative because the promises of God are yes and amen. Now, don't you be going after all of these benefits. Stop laughing at me, Pastor. Don't you be going after these benefits when you haven't done the rest. You got to put the work in, y'all. Huh? You want to go after the benefits, but you don't want to put the work in. Got brothers, and you know, I just want to find me a girl out here. Want to find me somebody. You know what I'm saying? Want to find me somebody. So I'm saying? Find me this girl out here, you know what I'm saying? Want to find me somebody, you know what I'm saying? So I'm saying? Wait a minute. First of all, let's think about this right here. He that findeth. Right there, we in trouble. He that findeth. You want her to come to you. We already in trouble. You don't believe the requirements. See, you don't believe the requirements. The requirements is I got to find. You should be hidden. You should be hidden. That's the point. If you're not hiding, wives hide. You still ain't caught it. Wives ain't all out in the open like that. Girls are. Girls stay outside. Wives hide. You got to find her. You got to find her. Come on now. And that's not even locational. You got to find her. Yeah, they're still, ooh, I'm trying to get off of this. You got to find her. See, God can present her, and until you find the her that has been presented, you can't have it. Right? But we got to, you know what I'm saying? Look, for God, send me somebody. You know what I'm saying? He can give it to you. Okay. Yeah, he gives. So you got to find. And that requires work. Do you believe the requirements? Do you believe the requirements? I got to look for. I got to find. He that finds a good thing. Stop. We in trouble again. We in trouble again. So you say that's your wife and then stop believing she's a good thing. See what I'm saying? Like, because if she's a good thing, your behavior. Come on. Belief, behave, belief, behave, belief, behave, belief, behave. You're a good thing. So if I don't understand what you did, my behavior and my belief are going to make me keep moving in the right direction. Otherwise, I'm stuck. And so when you have a relationship where you can't seem to move forward, you got to say, where is the belief and the behavior in this relationship? What do you believe? I'm looking at your behavior, so you can't believe I'm a good thing. Because if you believed that I was a good thing, you wouldn't behave like I'm a bad thing. You want the benefits. You want the benefits of this relationship. But even the benefits you have only put into a worldly box. Because watch this. A part of the benefit of a godly relationship is honesty. You don't want that part. This is true both sides. Like, both sides got to be able to be honest. Hey, man, you got to be able to be honest. Huh? And it's, oh, Lord. Happens in the church, too. Huh? I'm looking for a church home. No, you're not. I'm looking for a church home. Lord, send me to a church. Do you want to be matured? Do you want to be a part of the body? Or are you coming to get your fix? Are you treating God like your crack pipe? Or do you want him to be your savior? Which one do you want in this thing? Oh, you don't want a church. Come on, come on. Some folk don't want a church. They don't want to be pastored because the first time you correct them, now you being mean and you being angry. And they don't want pastors, huh? He said he'll give you pastors after his own heart. So you want the pastor to follow your heart. He gives you pastors after his heart. So the pastor is going after the heart of the Lord. And sometimes when your heart don't match his heart, you and the pastor might not be on the same page. And all he's trying to do is get you to be reconciled unto God. That's it. But what happens, listen, when people push back against the standard, because we have such an issue with discomfort, we'll lower the standard to lessen the pushback. Okay, God, I'm not even trying to do this today. So what we end up doing is tolerating blatant dishonor and blatant disrespect, tolerating it all under the guise of, if I maintain the standard, we may have a problem. I know I'm gonna let y'all sit with that a minute. And so now the entire relationship is out of alignment with God. That can be pastor to member, that can be husband to wife, so your spousal relationship, that can be parent to child, right? We have children who tell the parents what to do. Right? And so the entire relationship gets out of balance because you have parents saying, I don't want little Spoon to have a problem with me. Because if I use a name, somebody gonna be like, you're talking about my kid. I don't want little Spoon to be mad at me, so you won't correct little Spoon. You won't correct little Spoon. And so now little Spoon is 14, and at 14 years old, Spoon done gave birth to fork, knife, huh? At 14. So now you gave birth to Little Spoon, and now you grandma the fork and knife, all because you wouldn't do nothing with Little Spoon because you were afraid the Little Spoon was going to have a problem with you and you was trying to be they homie. That's, everything's out of balance. But what they have to see is, believe. What do I believe? How do I behave? What have I become? And what's the benefit? That's the growth chamber. You apply that to everything. Apply it to every relationship. Apply it to your family dynamics. Apply it to everything. Where are you at in the growth chamber? Because maybe, just maybe, the reason that me and you ain't on the same page is because we're in two different phases. I'm way down here thanking God for benefits, and you still don't believe. You believe in the promises, but you ain't got them principles and stuff together. Necessary disciplines. And you expect me to keep coming down to your floor. Oh, God, yes. That's why I'm so tired, because you got me running steps all day. I wouldn't be as fatigued if we were on the same floor. I just feel like I'm exhausted. You're exhausted because you're surrounding yourself with people on a different floor. And in order to communicate with them, you're the one that's running the steps. They're staying put. Yes. You're coming down from your benefits to get down to their lack of belief. Woo! Okay. Lord, that is good to the kid. Do y'all hear me? And so you sit up there in perpetual exhaustion because I got to keep running all of these steps and I'm trying to get benefits to you when you're not even at the phase of benefits. And they're looking at you like, why are you tired all the time? Because I'm running these steps. Amen. make sense? All right, I'm going to stop because if I go any further, I'm going to be in trouble. Put up Romans 8. I think that's the last text I had. Yes, put up Romans 8. Here's where I need us to get. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We breaking cycles, right? Amen? Are we done breaking cycles? I thought we was breaking cycles. We breaking cycles, right? There's no condemnation. How many of you have done silly stuff? Silly stuff? Okay. There's no condemnation for those who are requirements in Christ. Verse 2, please. For the law of the Spirit of life, where's the law at? Come on, saints. Where's that law at? In Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. If I'm in Christ, that law of sin and death ain't got no holds over me. None. You got to believe this, though. Many times we quote this verse, but we're quoting it outside of this growth chamber. I got to believe. I got to believe that I'm not condemned. People tell me all the time, like, you know, I just can't get over it. I've been there, done that. But the reason you can't get over it is because you don't believe that you're not condemned. If, watch this, I never have a problem getting over it if it's under me. Yes. How can I say I can't get over it, but also believe it's under my feet? It doesn't make sense, right? Like, that logically doesn't make any sense. All things are under my feet. And we'll say that and shout and fall out and sweat and fill the altar and do a 30-minute altar call because all things are under our feet. And then, literally 10 minutes later, say, I just can't get over it. You just said you believed that all things are under your feet. That includes the thing you just said you can't get over. That's under your feet. I'm just struggling to get over. So you don't believe that all things are under your feet. Huh? Well, I believe that all things are under my feet, but not that. Because it can't mean that. Because, you know, Pastor, I'm human. If any man be in Christ, he's new. Does that make sense? Okay. I say this, I'm going to pray. I promise. If you total your car, I mean total it, all the airbags deploy. You done left pieces all over the street. Everything's total. All the wheels run off all over the place. You know, the trunk flew open. The back doors come off. The hood crumpled up. Huh? Just tow the car up. You walked away alive. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And the adjuster says, total loss. So they say it's total loss. And then you have, listen, a new car. Mm-hmm. Is the new car total? If the new car is not totaled, why would you drive it like it's totaled? Why would you treat it like it's new? If it's new, that's not a fixed car. It doesn't say if any man be in Christ, he's fixed. It doesn't say if any man be in Christ, he's repaired. It doesn't say if any man be in Christ, he's better. You're new. It's not even the same car. It's not even the same car. Go pick you another color if you want. It's not even the same car. So why in the world would you drive it? Come on now. Yeah, anybody in here ever drive a bucket? I drove a bucket. I had a 1991 Toyota. Had a 1991 Toyota to sell as a four-cylinder, and it was a stick shift, and it leaked oil so bad that my dad had a mechanic, and every week I would just ride to the mechanic. He'd open it up and just fill it up with oil, and I'd keep on driving off. I just leak oil. It just leaked. I put oil in it every Friday. But it was only a four-cylinder. It didn't take much oil. I'd get gas and go around the corner. He'd just put some oil in it, and I'd just keep on going. It's every Friday. I put oil in that car. It was terrible. Now, watch this. That's not the car I drive anymore. I got a new car. So why would I still have the same pattern as the broken car? Yeah. Why would I take my new car to the mechanic and tell him to put oil in it? Sir, you don't need oil. This car don't leak. Stop behaving like you got a leak when I gave you something new. That's what God does for us. So when we're talking about we can't get over it, you can't believe you're new. The thing you're trying to get over is totaled. When you come to Christ, totaled. That old life, totaled. Total loss. Y'all, see, we don't like that type of talk. See, you notice you start talking like that, and we go, but I liked it. No, that old you, total loss. Scrapyard. Hauled away. They can't even sell it at auction, some of y'all. The devil can't even auction off your old life. Your old life was so tore up, they can't get nothing for it. Can't get nothing for it. But you ain't got to worry about that at all, because you got a new one. I'm going to pray. I'm free. The law of the spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. So stop living bound. You better go ahead and embrace free. Amen. I'm talking about embrace it fully. Just be sitting up there just as peaceful. Yes. Why you seem so happy? What I got to not be happy about? Right. I'm free. But you still got bills, but I'm free paying them. Right. See, this is what I don't understand. But I'm free paying them. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is not a bound person paying bills. You'll always stay in a scarcity broke mindset if you think that by having an obligation, it's being bound. See, it's quiet. See, people with abundance still have obligations. They just don't have an inability to pay. People with abundance got obligations. They just don't worry about paying them. Huh? I listened to a video the other day, and she said, listen, I don't even think about my bank account. I thought, but that is something. Like, I don't understand such a feeling, but okay, Lord. That's what she said. She said it so calm. She says, you know, you just get to a point where you just don't think about your bank account, and you just go where you want to go, and you just do what you want to do, and you know. I said, well, if that's possible for people who ain't in you. Yes. Huh? And she just looked so normal. She was just sitting there with her little latte, having a little good YouTube video. And she was sitting up there. She was like, yeah, you know, we're about to go to Iceland in a little bit. Iceland. Yeah. I don't even know how to book that trip. No, seriously. What do you even do in Iceland? You see what I'm saying? But watch this. The reason I don't know what to do in Iceland is because I don't have an Icelandic perspective. Y'all still ain't in here. And what God wants to do is he wants to change your perspective of things so that you can start believing him for things. It's the same thing with freedom. It's the same thing with peace. If you don't have a peace perspective, you'll never believe peace. If you don't have a joy perspective, you'll never believe joy. You won't understand how to book joy if you don't have a joy perspective. You won't understand how to book power if you don't have a power perspective. And power is not, I made you fall down. Power is transformative before anything else. We now live in a generation that is so hungry for signs that they actually don't even care about transformation. And you want to see people dance, but you don't care if they still sleep around. All right. Father, I thank you and I honor you. I give you praise. Thank you, God, for changing perspectives and putting us in the growth chamber. We break cycles tonight. And we will no longer be bound by cycles that are outside of you. God, we want to go as high as you want us to go. And God, we know that because there is no height in you, that getting inside of you means that our height is limitless. Thank you. Thank you, God, for welcoming us into limitless possibilities, limitless joy, limitless peace. Thank you, God, for welcoming us into limitless happiness and limitless opportunity. Thank you, God, for eliminating burden because that doesn't exist in you. I only want what's in you, and everything outside of you, I reject. Thank you, God, for breaking the cycle of thinking, God, that we can only get inside of you when it's problematic. God, I want to dwell there. Let us do so by entering the growth chamber and never coming out. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.